Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Show, simulcasted with Freedom from Addiction. An exciting time. We're going to try this. We've been doing segments together, but I've just really enjoyed working with Reverend Wynn Henderson. That we thought, let's do the co-hosting thing. And it's going to be a lot of fun simulcasting. So I'm excited to welcome the program, Reverend Wynn Henderson. Wynn, how are you? And we have some amazing guests today for both the podcast and also my radio program.
Well, Neil, I hope it's going to be fun, more fun than the coronavirus.
Oh, yes. So go ahead and introduce our guests.
Okay, so you want me to start in now? And
yeah.
Go with it? Okay. Well, today I have Dr. Alan Leica and Harriet Tinka on the show, and their book that we're going to be discussing is called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. Two survivors reveal 13 golden pearls they've discovered. Let me do the introduction. Dr. Alan Leica and Harriet Tinka share harrowing and traumatic escapes from death. Yes, from a misdiagnosis of what he was told was a terminal illness, as ALS, and she from a nearly fatal kidnapping and beating by a stalker. Dr. Leica is best known as one of the leading cosmetic dermatologists in the world. He is also a transformational speaker, thought leader, coach, and mentor. Harriet is a gorgeous former runway and magazine model who found new life as a transformational speaker, passionate life coach, and blogger. So they have teamed up to put the wisdom that they'd gleaned since their trauma into a powerful new book, which I told you was The Secrets of Living a Fantastic Life. And they're on the show today, and Neil's also producing it for his show. So Harriet and Alan, it's nice to have you on my show today.
Well, thank you for having us. We are honored to be here. Thank you.
Yes, thank you, Wynn, for having us. It really is a privilege to be on your shows.
Well, you know, this Zoom thing, doing this three-way, and then simulcasting to two different markets at the same time, has been a real challenge since Zoom hasn't been working too well this morning. But now that we've got everything working, we can get into talking about you guys and what you're doing and everything.
Well, you notice Zoom is a four-letter word as well.
Yeah, I know. I've been saying it. Okay. Which one of you wants to start? We got a lot of material here. One of y'all might want to make an opening comment?
Well, why don't I start with me, then I'll let Harriet in. In our books, really about it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens. And both Harriet and I really represent that comment. Both of us have come through very traumatic events in our lives. It's because of those events we're actually better rather than worse. And I think we could look at any glass as being half empty or half full. We could look around, and if we're given lemons, we could say, yuck, or we could say, let's make some lemonade. And I think in this day and age, it would be better for all of us to think about that glass being really half full. We have to be thinking about how better we are and how good we are. And I'd like to start the day with an attitude of gratitude. I'd like to think that I'm in a good place right now. I'd like to think that the world is still functioning. I'd like to think that the world is okay, and we can do okay because of it. And I think it's important that because of that, we can do a lot and move forward, not backwards. And that's what I'd like everybody to think about today. Be grateful and move forward.
So when you're saying that's what you'd like to think, are you being a realist?
I think I'm very realistic. You know, every dark day has a cloud, and that cloud always has a silver lining if you look for it. I think in this day and age, there's a lot of silver clouds that are coming out, and we just need to grasp them. And that's what Harriet and I realized when we were in our darkest days, in our days when we were almost dead, in our days when we were near destruction. You know, a person can be destroyed, but they cannot be defeated. And it's the defeatist attitude that I want people not to be defeated. I want people to move forward, not back.
I agree with you totally. What's your thoughts, Harriet?
Oh, I absolutely agree with that. An attitude of gratitude is definitely the way to go. And also having an attitude of kindness, because kindness, if we make kindness go viral, we're all going to be in a much better state of mind. And that's all it's all about, having that growth mindset. And I think that's very important. And we've identified that growth mindset using the 13 golden pearls that we have identified in our new book that we just launched, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life.
Okay, so you use the metaphor, a golden pearl. Most of the people that's listening does not know the implication of what a golden pearl is. Would one of you like to explain that?
Sure, I think I will, Wynn. Golden pearls actually exist. They actually exist in the South Pacific and Indonesian areas of the world. And they're extremely rare. A single solitary pearl can cost upwards of $10,000. They're so exquisite and so beautiful. Now, what forms a golden pearl is really unique. A golden pearl really comes about because a little grain of sand gets inside of a shell. And inside of an oyster shell. And that sand really irritates that oyster. And the oyster walls it off. It makes this beautiful, tantalizing, mesmerizing pearl because of the result of the trauma that came about. And that's really what happened in Harriet's and my lives. In our lives, we really formed these exquisite pearls, or rather discovered these exquisite pearls because of the trauma that we went through.
So in medicine, we've got a saying, which I can't remember it right now, but it's a tip or something substantial that you put into something that you're discussing. And that to me would seem like would translate to a golden pearl in your experience.
Yes, I think so. And the reason why we used a golden pearl is it's such a beautiful, wonderful metaphor. It really is something that truly is what people can really see and understand. On our cover, there's all these golden pearls. And throughout this book, it's sprinkled with golden pearls. And those golden pearls are something that is inside of every one of us. And all we have to do is reach inside and find them and bring them to the forefront.
Well, one of my hobbies is making expensive jewelry. So if you'll send me a golden pearl, I'll make you a winner.
Do you think the adversity, Alan and Harriet, what you've gone through is something that can speak to anyone in certain ways, that how they can basically continue to move forward in life?
Sure, I think so. And Harriet, why don't you go on that, and then maybe we can go into our stories a little bit.
Well, absolutely. I think pain is a teacher that really teaches us to appreciate happiness. And the golden pearl basically does symbolize that, because it goes through trauma and then it comes out as a beautiful golden pearl. So the same thing for both me and Dr. Leica. We went through a lot of trauma and then we came up on top. So for myself, my story really, and I'll just make it up, I will just shorten it up because it's quite a very long story. So for me, even today, it's still surreal for me to believe that I'm a victim of a domestic violence. I'm a survivor of a domestic violence. So my story really begins with when I had just retired from being an international model. I was full of confidence, yet I was a victim of a stalker. I retired from that industry and I decided to go back to school and get a formal education. So it was at the university that I befriended a fellow student, having absolutely no idea that his attraction to me was a psychological trap disguised as love that would later turn deadly. And I was a typical victim of domestic violence. I was young, naive, and I had no clues of the signs and patterns of an abusive relationship. But yet I was vulnerable enough to trust him. So as I got to know him, he was very, very abusive to me. He would yell, he would scream, and then hit me. But then he would apologize later on. So I thought, oh, he apologized. Things are good. And this went on and on and on. And it became a pattern. So it got worse to the point that I was afraid for my life. So I decided to go to the police, and they recommended that, they said, nothing, there's nothing they can do because nothing has happened. The only thing that I can do is get a restraining order. And a restraining order is basically a document that stops the stalker from coming near you. So I said, okay, if that's all I can do, then let's do it. So I got the restraining order, and I was quite content because I knew now nothing's going to happen. So one evening I was busy studying for my exams and actually doing a project. And I looked at the time and it was quite late. So I decided to quickly put my things in my bag and go back to my apartment. So I did that. As I was walking to my apartment, I got into the elevator, not really paying attention on my whereabouts. So I looked at my bag, and behind me, I felt somebody squishing my neck really, really tight, and a voice very familiar. It was him. And he said, "How dare you get that restraining order against me? Don't you know that I'm the only man that will ever love you? I have unconditional love for you." And when he said that, I was screaming and yelling, and he got quite frightened. I guess he was nervous that I was screaming. He didn't want anybody to really hear me. So he took off his shoes and took off his socks and stuffed his socks into my mouth. And then we drove off to an isolated area. So when we were driving, he kept yelling and screaming, and we ran into a telephone booth. So when he saw the telephone booth, he told me to get out of the vehicle and go call my parents and say goodbye to them, because this would be the last time that I would ever hear from them. So when he said that, I said no. And then he said, "Okay, Harriet, I'm going to repeat my question. I need you to get out of the car and go call your parents and say goodbye to them, because in the back of my car, I have a rope, a knife, and gasoline. I am going to wrap your body up with a rope, cut your body in pieces, and put gasoline all over you. Now, are you going to call your parents?" At that point, I looked at him and I said, "No." So the second no was absolutely upsetting to him. So he reached over the glove compartment, he took a knife, and he stabbed me 2 times, and there was blood gushing everywhere. And even today, I have absolutely no idea how I got from that point where I was to the hospital. So when I woke up, there was the doctor and my father, and the police and media was in the waiting room. So the doctor told my father that I'd likely never walk again because the damage on my leg was very... it was awful, as well as I'd lost a lot of blood. And if I do walk, it might take a long, long time. So when I heard the doctor say that, I was absolutely shocked. Here I was, an international model, walking in the runway, full of confidence. And now I was a cripple and depressed. So the only thing that separated my confidence and depression was my trauma. I started to feel sorry for myself, say, "Why me? Why me? I am wonderful person, how could this happen?" So I decided that internal dialogue was doing me no good. I decided to start healing. So it was during my physiotherapy in the waiting room when a little girl on a wheelchair came in, full of energy, full of life, and looked at me and asked me why I was there. And she got me at the point where I really didn't want to talk to anybody. And eventually, she was very tenacious. So I said, okay, I shared my story in a version that a 9-year-old would be able to relate to. And when she heard my story, she said, "Wow, you should really share your story with the world." And I didn't really understand why a 9-year-old had such wisdom. So when I got to know her, she told me that in her family, they shared stories and they always said stories are impactful, stories stick. So at that point, I wanted to know what exactly she was all about and why she was in a wheelchair. So she told me that her and her parents had been in a car accident. So now she was homeless, motherless, and fatherless. Yet she exudes so much confidence. She had lost her parents during a drunk driver accident. So when I listened to her story, I thought, oh my goodness, my story is nothing compared to hers. But then again, life is not about comparing stories. It's about what you do with what happens to you. So that's what happened. At that point, I didn't really know what she meant. It was later on that I started connecting the dots and I decided to use my story to impact the world. And I met Dr. Laika through an event that he was sponsoring. It's called the YWCA Women of Distinction. And he was sponsoring an event where women use their story to impact the world. And he was the biggest sponsor. So I was nominated in the Turning Point category. And I won the award. And I got to meet Dr. Laika. And that's when we met for lunch and decided to write this wonderful book, The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. And it was during that time he shared his story. And we said we should write a book. But that was 4 years ago. But here we are today.
Wow.
My story. So I'm wondering, you both had, you know, close to near-death experiences, and you turned it around, and you're making something out of those experiences to help other people. So that is a purpose in your life. Dolly Parton said everybody has a purpose. She was absolutely right. Mm-hmm. What would you like to do now? Would you like to talk about one of the golden pearls or something else?
Let me just tell a little bit about my story, because my story is compelling yet different, and then we'll go into a golden pearl right after that. You know, my story started back in 2003 when I was walking in Disneyland with my wife and my youngest daughter. And at that time, it was the end of a hot, sticky day, and my wife turned to me and said, "What's wrong with you, hon?" Now, for once in my life, I hadn't said anything wrong. I hadn't done anything wrong. I hadn't even thunk anything wrong. So I thought this was a little bit weird, Wynn, and I didn't know what to say. But she persisted, "What's wrong?" And I said, "I really don't have the faintest idea what you're talking about." She said, "Listen to your foot." Well, my right foot had suddenly and mysteriously developed a right foot drop and was flapping on the pavement with every step I was taking. Now, your brain is designed not to let that happen. It literally does everything right and does it without that. So something was malfunctioning. And my wife turned to me and she said, "When we get back, you better get this checked out." Now, all of you in a relationship will realize when your wife tells you something like that, you better listen. And I was a good boy and I listened. So when I came back, I had every test known to man. I had brain scans. I had CAT scans. I had PET scans. I had scan scans. And you know what they showed at the end of the day, Wynn?
Well, if you were typical, nothing.
Yeah, that's exactly what they showed. They showed absolutely nothing. The doctors were befuddled. They were really beside themselves. They thought I had a brain tumor or a slipped disc or something, but there was nothing on those tests. So, you know, they did more tests and more tests and more tests. So I probably had $1 billion worth of tests at the end of the day. And at the end of that, I was called to the office of a world-leading neurologist. A neurologist is a brain doctor, and they're supposed to have all the answers to these pictures. And I walked in, and he said, "Hi, Dr. Laika, you better be sitting down when I tell you this." I said, "Why? I have a dropped right foot." He said, "No, you don't. You have ALS, Lou Gehrig's disease. Get your affairs in order. In 6 months, you're going to be dead." Wow, that hit me like a ton of bricks, and I really didn't know what to do. And I asked him, "Is there a way to prove this diagnosis?" He said, "Of course, an autopsy." So I shot back at him at that time when I said, "You know, I'm not going to die to prove you wrong." Wow, that was a tough day in my life. But at that time, you know, when you go through something like this, you go through a grief reaction. And a grief reaction was described by Elizabeth Kubler-Ross, the great doctor who wrote about death and dying. And she wrote the stages a person goes through. And she said, a person goes through anger. And yes, I was angry. I could bite the head off nails. You go through a denial. And denial is one of the biggest things. It says, you know, there's nothing wrong. I can do anything. It's really, but you know, in your heart of hearts, you know there is something wrong. Otherwise, you wouldn't be going through this. You go through bargaining. Oh, God, please let this not happen. If this doesn't happen, I'll do anything. And then finally, you go through depression. Depression is a tough one because that's where you stay in bed and can't move a muscle. Your body just literally does the wrong thing, and it tries to protect you by making you go into a depressed state. Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's last stage is acceptance, but I couldn't accept this diagnosis. I'm a medical doctor. My wife is a medical doctor, and we knew in our heart of hearts there was something wrong with this picture. So, you know, back in 2003, we had just invented something really, really interesting and new, and it was called the internet. You ever hear of that thing, Neil or Wynn?
Yeah, I remember that, yes.
Yeah, well, I think it was invented by Al Gore back then or something like that. But the point is it was invented and it was new and it was newfangled, but it was very hard to use. We didn't have Dr. Google to help us. We didn't have the search engines we have in today's day and age. What we had was dial-up connections. And you put a phone on a receiver and it would go and connect, and it would take 15 or 20 minutes to connect. And when it connected, you had to use a strange language like DOS or some other strange language to communicate, because computers had no memory back then. They couldn't do anything simple. So you had to connect in weird and wonderful ways. Well, I have a lot of friends that were nerds and they got me on it. And I looked up every disease that looked like ALS, but was not ALS. And I found a doctor in Colorado Springs, Colorado, by the name of David Martz, who had a disease very similar to what I had, except he got much worse, much more rapidly. And he was on his deathbed when a doctor from Texas came up to see him. And he looked at David and said, David, I don't think you have ALS. I don't think you have Lou Gehrig's disease. David whispered because he could do nothing else. He said, you know, what do I have? The doctor said, I think you have chronic Lyme's disease. I think you were bitten by a tick, and it's mimicking this disease called ALS. And I think if I start you on treatment, you'll get better. David said, well, what have I have to lose? I'm dying. So he started him on treatment, and like Lazarus, he arose from the dead. Within 1 week, he was back to normal. So I knew I had to get in touch with David. To make a long story short, I flew down to Colorado Springs. I met with him. He said some magic words. He said, Dr. Leica, I think history is repeating itself. I think I can make you better. And he started me on treatment, and I was able to maintain my status as a top cosmetic doctor for over 30 years. And I was right at the top of my craft, and I was right there and doing the best I could. But I realized I could give and serve more people by doing other things. So I walked away from medicine about a year ago, and I decided to serve people by writing books, by helping them with seminars, by helping them by coaching. And that's the phase of my life I am right now. And I met Harriet along the way, and we wrote this beautiful book for everybody to understand how they can have a fantastic life too. And that's what we're doing right now, is helping everybody with the help of our golden pearls.
Well, Alan and Harriet, we've only got about 10 more minutes. Let's get into one of the golden pearls, because you've got 13 of them in your book, right?
Yeah, I'll let Harriet get into one of her favorite golden pearls.
I think I'll start with the one, the purpose. And I do like the quote that you mentioned that Dolly Parton said, everybody has a purpose. And I absolutely agree with that. So in the book, we do use a golden pearl called purpose. And we use a phenomenon called ikigai. And ikigai is Japanese word for reason for being. And the ikigai asks of yourself four very important questions. So number one is, what is it that you love to do? It can be, maybe you love playing soccer. It doesn't mean you want to be a soccer player. It perhaps would mean that you want a career that focuses on teamwork, that competitiveness. So that's number one. What do you love to do? Number two, what are you good at? And at times it's really difficult to know what you're good at. Perhaps ask your friends. You may have helped them with something. Maybe you're a good listener. You could be perhaps a psychologist. Or if you're good with numbers, like I am, you could be an accountant. So that's number two. What is it that you're good at? Number three, what does the community need? Look around your area in your community and the world. What does the world need that needs to be filled with the gap? And then the very last thing is, what can you do and get paid for it? Because you do want to get paid for whatever it is that you love to do. And so if you ask yourself of those four questions, what is it that you love to do? What are you good at? What does the community need? And what can you do and get paid for it? You have found your ikigai. And for the listeners, they can start off with a part-time ikigai, which is just write down what you love to do and what you're good at. So those two can be very comprehensive, but it can be done. So that's one of the golden pearls, purpose.
And most of your golden pearls have a story that goes along with them. That's inspirational, right?
You bet, yeah. We start off with a parable. Some of them you're familiar with. You may have grown up with them. Your parents told you when you're little or your caretaker. And then we have a conversation between me and Dr. Laika on what our thoughts are on that golden pearl and the impact it has had on our lives.
Maybe I could share just a short story so everybody can understand how this works. There was a carpenter by the name of Fred, and he had worked for one company all his life. He was tired. He just couldn't do it anymore. So he went to his boss, threw his keys on his desk, and said to his boss, "I'm done. I just can't handle this anymore." The boss said, "Wait, Fred, wait a minute. You've been my number one carpenter for 20 years, for 30 years. I can't work without you. Could you do just one more thing for me before you leave?" Fred thought about it and said, "Sure, boss, I've loved it here. This has been the only job I've ever had. I would love to do anything you ask." So the boss said, "Could you build me just one more house? I need you to do this because you're my master carpenter and you're the only one that can do it." Well, Fred said, "Sure, okay, I'll do it." But you know, his heart was not in it. He had lost his enthusiasm. Instead of working 18-hour days and doing stellar workmanship, he did shoddy workmanship. He worked 2 hours a day and had to drag his butt to work every day. But he got it done. The house passed inspection, and he went back to his boss and threw his keys on his desk and said, "Boss, I'm done." The boss said, "Just wait a minute, Fred." He gathered everybody around in the office and said, "Everyone, this is Fred's last day. I'm very happy for Fred, but I'm very sad for us. I wish everybody was like Fred and did the work with the enthusiasm he did." And he said, "As a parting gift, I have a wonderful thing for Fred. Fred, here are the keys to the last house you ever built. Please live in it and enjoy it with all the enthusiasm you gave me."
And see, and I think that all of this brings to a point that when you take circumstances in your life, challenges in your life that have hit you, you don't just keep going towards your goals and dreams. You allow these things to happen if they do happen and just move forward. Don't allow it to define who you are, Harriet, who you are, right?
You bet. That's an excellent message. That's exactly what we're trying to share with the world.
No, jet pilots do not have rear view mirrors for a reason. And I think that's true about this too. You should look carefully at the future. You shouldn't forget about your trials and tribulations, but you should use them as stepping stones to move to a greater path, a greater existence.
Well, I read a lot of books. I've had 940 something full episodes on this podcast, and I got over 1,000 books in my library, and this is one of the better ones that I've read. So I just want to congratulate you, and anybody can pick up some stuff that's really going to be impactful to their life if they will read it. And so thank you both for writing The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. Now, tell our audience how they can get in touch with you, get your book, or anything about getting a closer connection.
Well, I'm going to start, Wynn, and then I'll let Harriet go for a second. I'm sorry for jumping in, Harriet. I would love to give everybody 52 golden pearls, one golden pearl a week for the next 52 weeks. And all they have to do is text us the word golden pearls, pearls with an S, to 1-819-717-2515. 1-819-717-2515. And we will send them a golden pearl each Tuesday for the next 52 weeks so they'd be able to share this experience. Now, our book is available on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca. It's called The Secrets to Living a Fantastic Life. I'm Dr. Alan Lyka, and my last name is spelled L-Y-C-K-A. My first name is Alan, A-L-L-E-N. Now, you could reach me at Alan@DrAlanLyka.com or at my website, DrAlanLyka.com. And you can find out a lot more there. If you don't want to buy from Amazon, you can just go to fantasticlifebook.com and order from there, and we'll get it right out to you. And that way we can give 20% of the profits of this book to help wipe out domestic violence by giving this to women's shelters in your area. So we would love to do this in such a way so that the world will be in a better place as well when we leave.
And for me, my web, they can get a hold of me through empoweredme.ca, just empoweredme.ca. And the other thing is we're all connected, but we're also very different. If you throw a pebble in a puddle, in a lake, an ocean, a waterfall, they're all going to react differently. So we want everybody to know we're all different, but yet the same. So wherever you're going through, you're not alone. So it's not what happens to you, it's what you do with what happens.
Well, this has been very motivational and inspirational, and I want to thank you for being on the program today. You know, my mission or purpose in life is to spread a message that there is a cure for all addictive behaviors. Mine is a spiritual cure, and the treatment program is profiled in my book, Freedom from Addiction 3. It's available on Amazon and wherever books are sold. And if you meet three simple criteria, you will get well. And I have two free resources where you can start your journey. The first is my free podcast with probably 100 programs. Go to www.freedomfromaddiction.libsyn, spell it L-I-B-S-Y-N, as B as in boy, .com, or go over to my website, www.revwynhendersonmd.com. And so you've got some resources there that will help you with a lot of different things and make your life better. And I just appreciate Neil and being on his program because it goes out to 150 stations.
And we picked up two markets in North Carolina yesterday in a conversation, and we're going to be going for more and more. It's exciting times and conversations, and we want to bring stuff that's not going to bring you down. It's going to be interesting stuff. It's going to be diverse. And that's what I try to do with my show. And Wynn is really bringing great, interesting guests to his program, his podcast, which is one of the longest running radio podcasts out there, about 20 years, right, Wynn?
Yeah, that's right, Neil. And now I'm getting into trying to help people with the coronavirus problem. And you'll find some really eye-opening stuff that can save your life. So I would suggest that you go over to my podcast and hear what I'm discovering as I find the truth just beneath the surface.
Wow, that's excellent. Thank you so much, Dr. Wynn, as well as Neil, for having us. We really are honored to be part of your show. Thank you so much. And all the great work you're doing. That's great.
Appreciate it. All right, guys, again, that you're listening to and watching The Neil Haley Show and Freedom from Addiction, and we will be back in just a moment.